The major problem is here, if someone is going to teach Megillah Srus, is the problem of the relevance. What is the relevance of Megillah Srus? I mean, you don't have the problem in the other Megillahs. Obviously, Megillah Sester has a purpose. We learn out something important, something on the surface, we might say, of historical importance. Shira Shirim is important in what it represents. Mishlei, Koheles, its advice. What is Megillah Srus? What is the purpose of Megillah Srus? Just a nice story about a Giyoires who was willing to marry a relative of her dead husband. Why would that be part of the Kisvei Kodesh? That's the main problem, and the one that's related to it is, of course, why do we read it on Shavuot? So Chazal gave us in the Midrash, and we have like a list of reasons. And the reasons themselves need some insight. Well, what do they mean by that? Obviously, it's not as simple as it sounds on the surface. So we have to find what lies behind that simple statement of Chazal. Like, for instance, one of the statements of Chazal is, because Rus is kulo chesed, because the essence of Megillah Rus is chesed. And since the Torah is chesed, shenemar Torah chesed al leshoino, so Torah is chesed, so this is it. So that's the importance of Megillah Rus, and of course that's why we read it on Shavuos, because that's Torah chesed. Again, the problem is, fine, even after Chazal tell us, that's not the only nice thing that ever happened in Jewish history that we should record. I mean, somehow, there has to be something deeper than just this. And what about all the other reasons? We have there is a famous rule of the Maharal, a very interesting rule that whenever we have in Agadeteh, we have Machloikes, in Agadate, it means that all the reasons are interrelated. All the opinions are interrelated. That's a famous rule by the Maharal, that there are no machloikes in Agadate. What? The Maharal holds that whenever we have in Agadate a machloikes, it's not really a machloikes. It's not a machloikes, the metzias, this, but there are different facets of the same idea. In other words, they are all interrelated. So, what about, is there a relationship between the reason given because Rus is chesed? Or that it's related to David HaMelech? Since David HaMelech comes out of Rus, and David HaMelech is born and died on Shavuos, so then there is a relationship between that also. And Shavuos is Kabbalah Satoireh. Now, is there an interconnection between everything? I mean, is everything interconnected? Obviously, yes. What is the connection between everything? So this is what I'm going to try to tell you today. What I found, the depth of the interconnection of all the reasons, and what really lies behind the importance of Megillah Srus. And Derech Agav, I'd like to give you certain insight in certain events, like, for instance, the meaning behind the problems. For instance, the fact that according to, there is a big machloikis with a Rus and Orpo, when they married the two sons, Machlo and Bechidion, were they Jewish or not? So the majority of the opinions say they were Goyes, they were Gentile women. And the reason is simple, because we learn out all the Hilchos Gerus from the Gerus of Rus after they died, 10 years after they died, and she's going back to Eretz Yisrael. So, on the surface, there were Goyes. There's no question about it. There were Goyes. However, there are other opinions. I mean, there is one pshat, it's not clear what the Ibn Ezra means, but there is a possibility that the Ibn Ezra means that they were Jewish when they got married. And there are other opinions that say that, you know, Lemay said, Machloin vechilioin gdoile hador hoyu. You know, the Gemara makes this statement. Machloin vechilioin gdoile hador hoyu. I mean, how can you say gdoile hador and at the same time say that they married Gentile women? It just doesn't make sense. So we must say that there was some kind of gerus before, but not the real thing. So what is it? So what is the status of Rus and Orpo at the time? Yeah. The one that says what? Machloi v'chilon doli ador are you? In the Yalkut Shimoni on Megillas Rus, you have it is in the Gemara. I don't remember exactly where, but the Gemara says, because they left Eretz Yisrael, I think it's a Gemara in Ksuvos. When the Gemara talks about the minus of Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, you see that Elimelech Machloi v'chilon doli ador are you? And because they left the Eretz Yisrael, so that's why what they were punished. So you see, even by Gdolei Ador, it doesn't help. The schus of being a Gdolei Ador doesn't help. So you see that the Gemara calls them Elimelech Machloim Vechilim Gdolei Ador. Right? I mean, it's impossible to say that they were just simple Jews. Right? That's one problem that we'll try to clarify. There is an interrelated problem. Let's assume, like most of them, if we take a look in the Targum of Megillas Rus, it says clearly, Vayomus in Machlen Vechilion died because they married Noshim Nochriots. I mean, the Targum on Megillas Rus says clearly that the reason why they died Machlen Vechilion is because they married Noshim Nochriots. Right, so there's nothing you can do about that. Now, assuming that this is true, that they were goyis, then according to the Jewish law, their marriage is null and void. There is no marriage there. So therefore, we have a problem with the whole concept of the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says that the whole idea of Rus marrying goyas was yibum. So even though according to the halacha of yibum it didn't apply, because it's not a brother, but the minhag of yibum existed even for a close relative, right? That's why he says, for instance, by Tomor eventually marries Yehuda, even though it's a father-in-law, it doesn't matter, because if you can get a brother, get the closest relative, says the Ramban. Not mitzad ha-haloche, but mitzad ha-minhag. But even a minhag has to have a basis. It has to be a relative. If according to the Jewish law, Rus is not married to Machloin at all, so what kind of a minhag is it that the close relative would marry her? Gershon is gayer kekol v'shenoilad. It's absolutely meaningless. You understand what I mean? Now, even mitzad ha-minhag, it doesn't make any sense. So that's a problem that it's important to deal with. Then we have other little events that comes up here. And again, we don't see the relevance. Like, for instance, when Rus is collecting the leket, right? And Boyas comes from Beis Lechem, he says to the koitrim, Vayomer la koitrim, Hashem imochem. Why record this dialogue? Vayomruloi yivorechecho Hashem. And Chazal make a big deal out of it, right? They say, you see, from here we see that it was Boyas who established that the haloche, that you are allowed to use God's name when you say hello to somebody. You hear that? So first of all, what is the whole idea of saying hello with the Shem Hashem? Why is it in Megillas Rus? What is the whole idea connected with Megillas Rus? Why Boya? I mean, obviously this way have an interconnection. What is it? Then we have the problem of the whole simen. Naomi tells Rus, it's time that you should get married, so go into Boyas when he's sleeping in the warehouse over there and uncover his feet. Right? What is the idea of uncovering this? What is the symbolism behind it, uncovering his feet? And then we have the problem, the exact What is the exact problem between Boaz and his uncle? Right? Remember, we have Elimelech here, right? The father of Mahlon and Chilion, and the father of Boaz, right? And as Boaz is a nephew of Elimelech. Boaz is a first cousin of Mahlon. But besides, Elimelech had another brother, right? The one that the Megillah described them as Ploini Almoini, the anonymous one, the one without a name, Ploini Almoini. So he's the uncle. So he is the closest relative. So when he is offered the right to marry Ruth, he says like this, I can't marry her. Why? Pen ashchis es nachalosi, because I don't want to destroy my nachalosi. Says Rashi, means my descendancy, like body. What will I do with my great grandchildren? I can't do it to my great grandchildren. That's the idea. And there is an incredible difficult Rashi, because Rashi says that the reason why Ploini Almoini decided not to marry Ruth, says Rashi, and that's the simple pshat in Chazal, that Ploini Almoini said, Amoini ve'af Amoinis moyovi ve'af moyovis, which means that Ruth is not allowed to get married to any Jewish person. Right? Now, if Ploini Almoini really, that's what Rashi says here on the spot, that's the reason for the statement by Ploini Almoini. Now, let's say this is true, that Ploini Almoini believes that, that he's not allowed to marry, that Ruth is not allowed to marry to anyone. So why does he need the justification, I don't want to damage my children? Why doesn't he say, because I'm not allowed to, the Torah prohibits me. How can he say to Boaz, you do it? What do you mean you do it? Like, I'm a tzaddik, I'm a machmi, you are a goy, you can do whatever you want. I mean, what kind of, right? I mean, so today to say such a thing, for me, no, I'm a tzaddik, but you can eat it. Yeah, you can eat it. How can he do such a thing? It's okay for you, but not for me. What do you mean by that? So, let's then start from the beginning. The concept of chesed in Megillas Ruth, which is obviously the central theme, right? When Boaz realizes that Ruth, in spite of her beauty, in spite of her yiches, in spite of her former wealth, according to Chazal, Ruth is a daughter of Egloin Melech Moab. She's an actual princess. She gives up everything. Right? She gives up her wealth, she gives up her country, she comes to a new country, to new people, to strangers, has to be a poor person, gathering leket with all the paupers in the area. I mean, it's a very embarrassing thing. Says Boaz to her, this is nothing compared to what you are doing now. You are willing to marry me for the sake of Mahlon, the dead person. That is a greater chesed than the first chesed. So obviously that is the central thing, chesed. So I found that, you know, there is an extremely difficult statement in Mishle. It says like this, chesed le'umim chatos. Sdoko teroinen goy. I mean, Gentiles can reach a level of justice, right? Meaning a constitution, the laws can be based on justice. Then they have a sense. But chesed is only a Jewish chesed. Not, as long as it's not Torah, it's not chesed. Chesed le'umi chatos. It's a chay. What's that, a chay? So chay doesn't mean, yeah? Chesed le'umi is nations, Gentiles. No, chesed of Gentiles, chatos. So the simple interpretation is chatos means it's a sin. Really, it means something else. You see, the word chatos, the word chay, really comes from the word lehachties hamatoro, to miss the point. Right, that's the essence of hate. You miss the point. What's that? You miss the point. I'm trying to do something good, right? And all of a sudden, I miss the point, I break the window. I'm trying to hit the mark, the bullseye, and I hit the window. But I tried to do something decent. It came out something no good, so that's a shoygeg. That's why whenever we find hate in the Torah, it's always a shoygeg, with very few exceptions. Okay? Now, what's the idea? For instance, I want to turn on the light. I don't remember each other, so I want to do something neutral, something good, turning on the light. I didn't remember a Shabbos, so I missed the point. You know, I didn't mean to do the harm, right? I missed the point. Now, in Torah, the whole idea of chesed is always related to emes. Chesed and emes always go together. Why is it that chesed and emes always go together? Because the point is like this. The example is, for instance, your child wants a bicycle. Your child wants a bicycle. So, on the surface, you're going to say, what's chesed? That you take out money from your pocket and you buy him a bicycle. That's chesed. Somebody might say, no, that's not chesed at all, because the child is not ready to ride a bicycle. Chesed is, if you know what's good for the child, is not to buy him a bicycle, right? In other words, sometimes the chesed is something that in the surface sounds like no chesed. But if I have enough information of what's right and what's wrong, then my chesed is an ultimate chesed, the real chesed, not the apparent chesed that arouses a reaction of appreciation. In other words, to the point that I know what's good, then I can do real chesed. To the point that I lack the knowledge of what's true and what's good and what's right, to that degree my chesed is lacking. You understand what I mean? In other words, chesed without emes is only apparent chesed. In other words, if I do chesed for anything else but the ultimate good, then the chesed is a chesed that will always miss the mark. This is why real chesed can only come together with Torah. Because without emes, it'll only be apparent, distorted chesed. It'll be a chesed le'umim chatos. Instead, so, be'etzem, you have the choice. Either you have chesed which is connected to emes, or you have chesed le'umim chatos. Because to the point that you are lacking in the knowledge, you are going to distort the chesed, and then it will be a misdirected chesed. You understand? So this is what it means, chesed leumim chatos. Not doesn't really mean that they are not capable of chesed. A goy is not capable of chesed. He's capable of chesed. But since he lacks the ultimate knowledge of emes, then his chesed can't be real chesed. It has to be a distorted chesed. So we find like this. Avraham Avinu, who is the first one who had an insight into real emes. Real emes. He came to the understanding of Kol HaTorah Kulo, right? Acheloi Nikto, Avraham Avinu. So by him, chesed was the first real chesed in history. And I was, even though chesed existed, no question about it. But the chesed that we are looking for, the first one is Avraham Avinu. That's his midah. That's midas a chesed. By Avraham Avinu, we find midas a chesed. All our chesed is derived from Avraham Avinu. That is the source. That our chesed genes come from Avraham Avinu. Now the nitzoytze is like the holy chesed that was established by Avraham Avinu. That is what's transferred from one generation to the next. One problem though. Chesed, which is a holy characteristic, went off on the wrong tangent. How? It's mentioned already that Lloyd drew chesed from Avraham Avinu. Now Lloyd was very, very close to Avraham Avinu. Very, very close. So he absorbed a tremendous amount of chesed. So somehow there are only sparks of chesed that are going through the wrong path, Lloyd. So what do we see by Lloyd? when the Malochim come, after being by Avraham Avinu, two of the Malochim come to Loi. So his welcome is tremendous. I mean, that is Midas HaChesed, there is no question about it. But what happens when the Anshei Sdoim surround the house and they say, give us the people? So out of Chesed, and there is no question about it, the incentive for the koyah that Lloyd had to say to the Anshei Sdoim, take my daughters, don't take my visitors, come from Chesed. But is it Chesed with MS together? Obviously not. I mean, what do you mean? You have a right to give over your daughters? I mean, who do you think? Who says that what they're going to do to the visitors is worse than what they're going to do to the daughters? I mean, how can you do such a thing? I mean, in Torah there is no mockery at all to such a thing. It's a perfect example of Chesed le'umim chatos. In other words, it's distorted Chesed. It's Chesed which is surrounded with two men, not with Tyro. That is the Chesed of Lloyd. This is where we see clearly that the Chesed of Avraham Avinu goes off on a tangent, becomes Tomei, right? And whenever we find that the Bali Kabbalah say, whenever Nitzotzos Kedoshim, holy sparks of holy characteristics, go into Tomei's surroundings, the goal is to redeem them. The word used is geule. To be goyel, to redeem the holy sparks that have been incarcerated by the tume environment. In other words, the chesed of Loi, right, is surrounded by tume, it's in jail. It has to break out, and what is the real geule? Geula is when the chesed comes back home, comes full circle back home. Now, we find the following. Lloyd is saved from Sodom, right? And then he remains with his two daughters, and the two daughters do the act of ultimate chesed. It's incredible, right? They think that they are the only people left in the world. Look, the two daughters think that they are the only people left in the world. What made them think that they are the only people left in the world, Lois and the two daughters? Because in order to figure out that they are not the only people left in the world, they have to realize that Sodom is worse than the rest of the world. True. In other words, they have to feel that no, it's only Sodom and Amorim who deserve to be destroyed, but every other place in the world doesn't deserve to be destroyed. To do that, you have to discern between Emes and Sheker, Toiv and Ra. They are lacking that. Remember, their chesed is a chesed without discernment. It's a chesed umim chatos. So according to their idea, if everything around it becomes destroyed, so probably the rest of the world is destroyed. If the rest of the world is destroyed, so what falls on their shoulders? The obligation to build the world, right? Oilom chesed yibonet, right? Oilom chesed yibonet. And what is the ultimate maaseh chesed that they do? They go against their nature, they get their father drunk, right? And they get pregnant. The ultimate act of chesed, but distorted, right? It's a chesed, right? Which is some sheker. It's not emes. You understand what I mean? So therefore, that ultimate act of chesed is chesed, but we have to realize it's still chesed which is surrounded by two men. Who is born from that relationship? Moyo. Amoinu Moyo, right? So we have, what do we have then? That Amoinu Moyo have in them that concentration of impure chesed, and that impure chesed still has to be rectified. And we have like this. The Gemara says, why is it that we darshan moyovi veloy moyovis, amoyni veloy amoynis, moyovi veloy moyovis? Right. So somebody asks, if so, mamzer veloy mamzeres maikele meimar, would you say the same?
by mamzer veloy mamzeres, it's only the male and not the female. So at the end they came up with the following answer, says the Gemara. The answer is that what's the reason that amoinu moyo lo yovoyu bekal Hashem? Because they didn't come out to welcome you when you came out of Egypt. Darkoi shel ish to come out, but not darkoi shel ish to come out and welcome you. So therefore you can't blame her. You can't blame the female Moabite. So the truth of the matter is, what everybody's blamed for not welcoming us, for not making big banquets when we came out of Egypt. Why do we blame it for not making a banquet? The Teretz is, because that's his nature. What would be the natural way for Moyo to act? Welcome, that's light. But when it came to Klal Yisrael, right, their hatred to Klal Yisrael overweighed their chesed. Oh, that's distorted chesed. That's chesed that always misses the mark. It's chesed lumin chatos. Again, we find the distortion of the chesed by Moyo. When does chesed come back full circle to Klal Yisrael? Rusa moyavio. Now, Rusa moyavio, right, is the one, the first one that brings chesed back home. Now, chesed comes back to Torah. Right? And therefore, it makes a lot of sense that the same one who redeemed the chesed, the distorted chesed that was wandering around in different areas outside of Klal Yisrael, the Rus brings their whole back. And that's what it's mentioned in Sforim, that is why that Rus is the redeemer. She's a redeemer in more than one sense. She's a redeemer of the land of Naomi, like it says later on. She's a redeemer of the Nishome of Machloi. But she's a redeemer of the Midas HaChesed. The Midas HaChesed comes back home to Klal Yisrael. So, obviously, the connection now is clear. Rus is the one that's Mekabel the Torah. You know, the Meforshim say, this is why Rus Begamatria is 606. Rus Begamatria 606. Which is Kabbalah Satorah for Abbe Noyach. Abbe Noyach has 7 mitzvahs. He has to be Mekabel an extra 606. So that's Rus. Right? Now, Rus is Kabbalah Satorah. Why? Because now that you come back to Torah, the chesed can be full. Now it's up to now, the chesed can be complete. Chesed can only be complete if it's chesed shelemes. Right? By the way, you know what Chazal called chesed shelemes? Amaze. Why? Because amaze doesn't react. You can do it because he appreciates it. You only can do it because you believe it's the right thing. So that's the example of the ultimate amaze. The ultimate chesed. Chesed which is not based on a reaction, on appreciation. So, now, if this is the idea, as we see that the idea of Geulo, bringing things back home, you know, we find in Vayikra, in Behar, we find that when a relative buys back a piece of land that was sold by a Jew sold his own land, right? And a relative buys back the land, it's called Geulo. Why is it called Geulo? Because the land comes back home. It goes back where it belongs. And whenever something goes back where it belongs, when people come back to their source, people meet their own source, people find themselves, they come back to where they belong, that is redemption. The ultimate redemption is to bring back people where they belong. That's the menucho, right? Where a person belongs, that's menucho. That's the word used, the Megillas Rus, to find menucho, that things should come back where they belong, right? That's Shabbos, Loshen Shuva, return. When you return, you return where you really belong. Be'etzem, this is the whole idea of Mashiach, right? To bring back the situation where it belongs, where things belong, things as they are supposed to be. That's why Mashiach is Geulo, right? And since Rus is the Goyeles par excellence, she is the Goyeles of Chesed, And it's interesting. Malchus Beis Dovid is described in Sefer Melukim as Malchei Chesed Ein. This is how you describe them. The essence of Malchus Beis Dovid is Malchei Chesed. It's a Malchus which is based ideally on pure Chesed, not on developing Kovet. No, the essence of Malchus Beis Dovid is based on Chesed, Malchei Chesed. So everything connects, right? Malchus Beis Dovid is Chesed. They are going to bring the Geulah, the ultimate Geulah. This is why it has to be from Rush that Dovid comes out, right? And that's why we read it in Shavuos, because it's related to Dovid, which is related to Kabbalah Satorah, because Chesed without Kabbalah Satorah is Chesed Lumim Chatos. Right? It all interconnects. Yeah.
What's the connection between the laws of Dovid and Chesed?
Dovid? They are described, you say from Melochim Chot, like Melochim Chot, it says Malchei Chesed Hein. Right? But it's more. We find a stronger hint that that's the atzmius of Malchus Beis Dovid. You see, the first pasuk says, "Vayehi bimei shefoit hashoftim." Right? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, what means shefoit hashoftim? Vayehi bimei hashoftim. It should be shefoit hashoftim doir sheshoifet eshoito. What means doir sheshoifet eshoito? No opinion was holy. You say one thing, I say something else. I mean, you are a judge, I'm also a judge. We are all judges. Which means the ultimate level of absolute freedom, which is really a very positive state, because that's the whole state of shoftim, sefer shoftim. You know what characterizes sefer shoftim? Ein melech b'Yisrael bo ein sahi. Ish ha-yoshur be'ein of Yasef. And in one place that the Chazal call it Sefer ha-yoshur. So obviously it's not a criticism. It's just telling you the fact. It's a Sefer Ish ha-yoshur be'ein of Yasef. Ultimate freedom. Ultimate freedom, of course, allows to reach the highest levels, but it also, you can reach the depth of corruption. This is why the statement is made after Pileges Begivon. Since there is so much freedom, you can find a situation like Pileges Begibo, because there is no king. You have a situation like Pesel Micho. By Pesel Micho also it says Isayosha Bein of Yasef. But that doesn't show that the matzah was bad. It means that the potential for evil was great. That's a matzah of shoyting, because of the tremendous freedom. When you have a king, you have already a governmental structure, you have controls, you have limitations. So you can't go so far down, but you also can't go so far up. So Ador Sheshoifet, the Shoiftot, is the corruption of that freedom that you have in this Zman HaShoiftim. Says in the Yalkut Shimoni, right here on the spot, it says, therefore, since it was Dor HaShoifet, the Shoiftot, therefore by Hero of Boris, because if you don't cooperate with each other, eventually, lack of cooperation will cause drought, hunger, right? That's what it says, right? There is a connection. A shoifet a shoifto, kol a yoshav, vahiro of ba'oretz. Now, there is a tremendously difficult question that people ask concerning the Shmoin Esrei. You know that pshat in hoshivo shoifteinu kvor rishoino, according to many Mefarshim, it means literally, let's go back to the tremendous freedom of the Zman HaShoftim. Why? Because the Zman HaMelochim isn't so good. Because who needs other kings? You should be our king. We don't need kings. If we don't need kings, then we have absolute freedom. That's the Zman HaShoftim. Right? We don't need other kings. And a few statements later, we say, before we just said, we don't need any kingdoms, we need shoftim, and here we say, no, we need a king. And so the Mefarshim answer, we are talking about kingdom which is not Malchus Beis Dovid. Because Malchus Beis Dovid is not a Malchus that takes. It's a Malchus that gives. So therefore, there is no no chesor, there is no contradiction to between Meloichato Hashem Levadcho and Malchus Beis Dovid. Now, any other Malchus takes away from Malchus Hashem. Malchus Beis Dovid is just the opposite. Its goal is to bring down Malchus Hashem. You understand? I mean, there is no contradiction at all. We are talking about Malchios, which are not, by its very essence, Malchus Beis Dovid. We don't mean to say that all Malchus Beis Dovid were Tzadik and Gemurim. We say that if you are a Melech Beis Dovid and you follow the ideology of Malchus Beis Dovid, then you are Malchus Chesed. Now, the etzem of Malchus Beis Dovid is Chesed, which eventually brings the Geulo. Right? Now, Chesed is what's going to bring the Geulo, and this is why Dovid HaMelech is the one that's going to bring the Geulo.
Just going back to one point you made about Noah, the little bit of I understand this concept of sparks is that eventually when the sparks come back, they bring into Klal Yisrael a certain, whatever told them is some night Moyam.
Exactly.
What was that we needed?
Why do we need it?
What element of Moyam of that nation was entered into?
The chesed of Moyo became concentrated in Rus, and we took it all, and it became Nigal, it became redeemed. And that's it. And Moyo, after that, has done his job to the world. It has given chesed back to where it belongs.
And the chesed was greater than our chesed?
There is a nekude of chesed that we were lacking because they had it. In other words, that we find in there, it's hard to understand because simply we understand that they need choices as like infinite, but it sounds from this foreign that if they have it to the point that they have it, we lack it. In other words, if they took away a certain portion of Chesed, that means that caused a certain lack in Klal Yisrael.
Like the Gemara says, the nine halakim of different things were given to different people. So you say, can there be other halakim? They have it.
Exactly. Means there is a concept of Chesed.
Conservation of matter.
Right. There is only a limit. There is a limited amount, and if they take it, it's a chesor in us that we fight.
Right.
Now we can understand, you see, some other things here. Like, for instance, if the chesorn of the, you know, the distortion of Yemei HaShoftim is extreme individualism, right? Shvoit HaShoftim means extreme individualism. Then what is the tikkun? It has to be mikoyach chesed, right? The chesorn is chesed, right? A lack of chesed, individualism. Then it has to be mikoyach chesed. Now, what is the example of chesed? The Gemara says that the basic chesed, there's a Gemara broker that says that what can you steal from a poor person? There is only one thing that you can steal from a poor person. Saying hello to him. Right? That's what the Gemara says in brokers. Saying hello is like a basic thing. He deserves, he's a human being. Saying hello means, hello, how are you, means I care what happens to you. Now, so comes out according to this, that the meaning of saying hello, how are you, was lost. Bimei Shvoit HaShoftim, true? If there is extreme individualism, that means that when they said to each other, hello, how are you, good morning, the good morning wasn't a good morning. I really didn't care what kind of a morning you have, and I didn't really care how you are. I don't care anything about you, right? So giving shalom to someone else became absolutely meaningless. So now I can understand. Boyas Ubeis Dinoi decided that we are going to make sure that we are mesaking this midoro. How? What, we are talking about good Jews, right? Jews who are Yoreh Shamayim. What will make sure that the good morning has to be met? If I don't mean it, I'll be over on Shem Shamayim Levatole. Okay. So they had to be mistaken. When you say hello, how are you? You must say Shem Hashem. Right? It sounds from the Gemara that it was a takone. It wasn't just a heter. It sounds from the Gemara that he was mesakim, which means it became like
in a way a shtickle chiyuv. Why at this time? Because that's the tikkun of shvoita shoyftim. You see, now if shvoita shoyftim causes drought, so now that we have the first harvest, remember it was after 10 years the first harvest. So then they say, but we can't just accept the first harvest. We have to be mesakin the avero. Because whenever we find this, something goes wrong, we have to work on the source. Why did it go wrong? Otherwise it will come back, the drought. So he was mesakin that you should say hello with a shem shomayim. If you have to say Hashem imochem, and if you don't mean it, you'll be oiver shem shomayim levatole. You'll make sure that you mean it, and otherwise you won't say it. It'll be a tremendous incentive to care what's going on by your fellow man. So all of a sudden, it's not just a small irrelevant event. It becomes an essential part of Megillah Shrus, right? The establishment of incentives to all of a sudden bring chesed back and avoid the problems of shvoita shoyftim. All right, that's the idea behind it. You have to say Hashem. And you know that many people say, a very interesting thing, they say, he said Hashem imochem, and they said back, Yivorechecho Hashem. Many people say that this is the source of saying Shalom Aleichem. You know the Gemara said that Shalom is one of the shamers of Hashem. You shouldn't say the whole word Shalom in the bathroom, right? Because it's a Hashem. So they say the source, why? The one who says it says Shalom Aleichem, and the one who answers says Aleichem Shalom, which means that they say the Shem Hashem at the end, is because of this. He says Hashem Imochem, and they answer Bek Yivorechecho Hashem, not Hashem Yivorechecho. And they said that there is a source for it. Why? Because the one who says hello, he's making the real mitzvah. The one who answers back is just giving back a choyv. He's just paying back. If you say hello to me, I must say hello back to you. That's like paying back what I owe you. So it's not such a big mitzvah. So they claim like this. Really, it's a problem to use the Shem Hashem before you say hello. So how can you say Hashem Imochem? Maybe he'll get a heart attack after the word Hashem, right? And he won't be able to finish it off. So we assume, since it's a mitzvah, ain't on izokim, it won't happen to you. But the one who answers back, that's what they say. But this is what they bring down the source. This is why by Shalom Aleichem, we also say the same thing. The one who gives the Shalom Aleichem is allowed to use Shem Hashem first, Shalom. The one who answers back has to remember, I don't have such a big mitzvah because I wasn't magdin sholem. I can only say aleichem sholem. That's the bring down. But it's a tremendous depth to the idea that is the whole essence of bringing back chesed that will be mesaking the chesoron of shvoita shoyfti. Now, concerning the... So they say in the Meforshim, because you have just cursed, kach lo yu, you know, you've just shown anger, lo yu koloi vailin goya bilero, but you are surrounded by people, so you say, no, I don't mean you, Shalom Aleichem. That's what the Meforshim say on the spot. Since I just said that, you know, I'm just angry at my oivim, but you, with you, are I'm okay. But really, there is a much deeper idea of Shalom Aleichem, because Shalom Aleichem is the whole meaning of his hadshus. Of Shleimus, his Hadush and Shleimus, and the whole union of Kiddush Levone. You know what the whole union of Kiddush Levone? I mean, it's not a Gele, I mean, it's the Geya to Malchus Beis David, by the way. Because all of a sudden we say, and David Malcolm. What does David Malcolm have to do with the Chiddush HaLevone, and we really care if the Levone won't shrink or will shrink? What's the big deal, and what's it to do with David? Because the whole essence of the Chiddush Levone is the idea of his Hatshus, the Koyach his Hatshus of Klal Yisrael, which is a strength, but it's a strength which is given to Klal Yisrael in order to survive the downs, right? The terrible things that they have to go through, right? Klal Yisrael is down, comes up again, down, comes up again. When will the cycle end? When will there be Sholoim? Apoy Rezuka Sholoim Oleinu. When will it be? When David and Melech will come back. And I was David Melech Yisrael Chayikam. When Mashiach will come, then will be Lemalo Kimas HaLevone. We don't really mean what will happen to the Levone. We mean the symbolism behind the Levone. The Miluy Gimas HaLevone means that the cycle is over. We never be down anymore. It will be Sholoim forever. So Sholem Aleichem is linking of his hatchus forever. Sholem Aleichem, it's established forever, it's always be Sholem. It will never be a lack of Sholem. That's what they want. For now. What's the pshat in the uncovering of the feet of Boaz? As we said, the Malbim says that, brings it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful Malbim. You know that the whole inyan of Yibum, obviously it's not just a mitzvah like the Ramban says. If it would be just a mitzvah, then Yehuda and Tomor, we wouldn't be able to understand what is the, you know, what Yehuda and Tomor before Matan Torah. It's a tikkun. It's a tikkun that was known before Matan Torah. Just the opposite. The Torah came and limited the tikkun. Because like the Ramban says, the tikkun was that any relative is good enough. The Torah says, no, it's not any relative, it has to be the brother. It's like the Torah is limiting the refuah. What is the refuah? Because, says the Malbim, a tremendous thing. Every neshome, says the Malbim, wants to be in this world. What the neshome, because a neshome, which is not attached to a body, is a passive neshome. You don't grow. When a neshom is not attached to a body, it's only a passive entity. You can only grow when you are part of a body. So therefore, a neshom always craves to be attached to a body. What happens when the neshom leaves the body? So the neshom goes over to the next generation. A portion of the neshom goes over to the next generation. And how is that called, that portion of the neshom that goes over to the next generation? It's called shame, because shame is the middle word of the word neshome, right? If you take out the external letters of the word neshome, what do you have left? Shimem, right? Ner Hashem are the external letters, and shame is like what I am, shame. Like my name expresses my essence, right? So it says like this. In every person who dies, his shame goes over to the next generation. And as long as that part of the neshome goes over to the next generation, the neshome is happy. What happens? Chas v'shalom, a person dies. Yad, you find yad v'shem. V'nosati loy v'shem. Yad v'shem. Now, you can maintain your name. What's that yad? Through things that you build. Right? You can build something. Yad means something physical that you do. You build a building and you put up your name, so you have a yad, right? That's why it's used, yad so-and-so, yad harav so-and-so, you know, the idea of yad. What's that yad? That the name of a person shouldn't be wiped out, so there's a concept of yad. But shame is much stronger. So how can you make sure that the shame shouldn't be lost? That is the soit ha-yibum, says the Malbim. Through yibum, somehow, if the person dies without children, and his close relative marries his wife, then the child will take over his shame. Doesn't mean literally that he has to give the same name like people think on the surface. And the Torah calls us lehokim shame, lehokim shame. That means the name, and if you give him another name, you're not becoming the mitzvah. There is no mitzvah to give the same name even. So what is lehokim shame? Lehokim the neshome. The neshome has a foothold. What is the analogy? My foot is too sensitive to step on the ground. So what do I do to my foot to make it possible to step on this dirty ground of ours? I put on a shoe. Comes out that the shoe represents the body, and the foot, right, is the soul, right, in metaphor. This is why when a person refuses to marry his brother's wife, what do we do to him? Chalitze, we take off his shoe, kill it to say, you see what you did? Kocho yoseh loyim, something like that. That's what you do to a person who refuses to marry his brother. Why? You don't allow the shoe to be put on your brother. That's what you're doing to your brother. That's what the Malbim say. Incredible word. It's in Rus. It's in Rus. If it's not in Rus, it's in Kiseitze. Or in Zaki Seitz, it's in Vayeshev. It's one of the three places, but where? In Ruth. In Ruth. Oh. So let's just have Mark Gilek. So right away, right? Remember, in those days, everything was the simonim. You know, they would do actions to show something that you, something strong was always expressed in actions. Even nevius, a nevius that's expressed in actions, then it's established as a fact. It wasn't Stam that she went over to him and explained to him the idea of Yibum. By uncovering his feet, what is she showing to him? You have no shoes, right? Remember, you have no shoes. The shoe has to be put on. That's the meaning of Ge'ulo. What's the Ge'ulo? At the Neshome, when it's not going over to the other generation, again, feels like incarcerated, jailed. Again, it's an act of Ge'ulo. That's the ultimate act of Chesed. It's a Chesed for the Neshome. It's the real Chesed Shelemes. This is what Ruth did. The real Chesed. Another act of Ge'ulo. In the Karka, the fact that the Karka went back, that's again an act of Ge'ulo. So, we see that this is the whole idea, the Ge'ulo of the Neshome. That is the whole concept of Yibum, Ge'ula Sa'Neshome, that the shame is maintained. Now, you know my time, so I have to just choose certain things. Now, concerning the argument between this man, the Ploini Almoini, the Ploini Almoini, that's interesting, you know, that Chazal have an opinion that says that his name was Toiv. Toiv, why? Because in Posuk Yud Gimel says like this, Boyas tells Rus, Lini palaylo, voyoba boiker, im yigoleich toiv yigool. So simple pshat is, if he does it good, say chazal now, im yigoleich toiv, if this man called toiv will do it, yigool, it's okay. Why was that? I mean, you know that the Megillas Rus, more than in any other Megillah, we find that the meaning of the name is obvious, of Rabbi Meir or Doire Sheimois in Megillas Rus. And the truth of the matter is that each name is a tremendous meaning. I mean, the meaning is clear, like Elimelech, right? Elimelech in the Chazal say that he kept saying that he deserves Malchus. Eli Yovei Hameluho. I am a descendant of, I am the son of Nachshon Ben Aminodov, the Gemara says. So, you know, I'm a Shevet Yehuda. It's for me the Malchus. And he's the man that in order not to share from his food, what does he do? You know what Chazal say? That he had plenty of food. You know Chazal say that he had plenty of food. It's not that he was suffering from the hunger. He had plenty of food. He didn't want to share. You hear the Mido, can I get Mido? He's the Malchus Chesed, he doesn't want to share. Right? That's Elimelech. You know, even the word Beis Lechem, it's not Stam the name of a city. He lived in Beis Lechem, he had plenty of food. Right? And then Machloi Vechilioi. Interesting. Machloi, Loshen Machlo. Right? A Machlo you see as something temporary. Somebody's ill, but he gets well. Kilioin, what does it remind you of, what word? Kiloyoin. Whose Neshome was saved? Machlon is the husband of Ruth. Kilion is again the name. Orpo is obvious. She turns her neck. I mean, at the end, she turns her Orpo, Oiret. She turns around and she goes back off. At the end, she didn't pass the test. Ruth, the Gemara says, Ruth is Loshen Robo. Robo means satisfied, to quench the thirst. To quench the thirst is also something that you lack. And all of a sudden, you quench somebody's thirst. That's the idea of the Chesed. That's Chesed, Ruth. Toiv, obviously, Chazal is, what the Novi is trying to tell you is that we're not blaming Toiv for not doing the right thing. He's Toiv. It's Toiv without Chesed. It's good, but not very good. It's the same parallel, Orpo and Ruth. We don't blame Orpo. She did what she did. What she did right. We don't blame her. It's Ruth that we say Lifnim Meshuras Hadin, right? This man Ploini Almoini and Boyas. Ploini Almoini did what he wanted to do. Fine, toy. It's okay. But it's not Lifnim Meshuras Hadin. Chesed is always Lifnim Meshuras Hadin. So, what was really the pshat I told you? That Boyas was willing to marry Ruth, and Ploini Almoini not. So simple pshat is because there is an argument in halachic. But there is no such a thing as an argument in halachic. When we have a Sanhedrin, Where do we find an argument in Halacha that doesn't come to a decision? Obviously, there was a decision over there. So, Pshat is like this. You know, the Gemara says, in Yevama, the Gemara says like this. When David HaMelech was anointed as king, right? So the Sanhedrin had to give its okay. So, I think the Gemara says, Doye Gadoy, or somebody else says, what do you mean you are making him king? He's an apostle. Apostle can't be king, he's apostle. So they say, no, amoini veloy amoini. So he says back, what do you mean? Mamzer voy mamzeres. Okay, so it was a big argument. Ad until Amoso ben Yese. Amoso got up and he says, kach mekublani. What was the argument? Kach mekublani me beizdino shel shmur de tzalokha le moishe misina ya moini veloy amoini is moyovi veloy moyovi. Halokha le moishe misina, no argument, period. That's what he says in the Gemara. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Mamre says that there are three types of decisions made by Boteidim. Three types, says the Rambam, in the first chapter, it says like this. There are decisions that are based on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And by those decisions, nobody ever argues. You can't argue on Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Right? If tefillin are black, nobody's going to get up and say, maybe not, maybe white is a better color for tefillin. You can't say that. Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, you don't argue. But what about all those decisions that are made based on masumal, or on logic? You give me the shator and he dresses for him? So that this generation can pasken one way, next generation can pasken something else. Right? And then a generation after can come back again. There's no guarantee. You never know what's going to be the decision tomorrow. Ela shoytim asher yomim hohei. Only in those days the halacha is said. Tomorrow the halacha can change. And the third decisions are decisions of gzeirois v'takonois. Gzeirois and takonois, that stands forever unless you find another bezdin which is greater in quality and quantity. So you're the three categories. So Pshat is like this. If the Gemara says that until Amoso got up and said, hey, I remember learning it. My Rebbe told me, Amoine veloy Amoines, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Until that point, it's mashma, that somehow the fact that this drach is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai wasn't known. That's the mashma, it's true. So if it wasn't known, then in the generation of Boyaz, how was the decision made? Obviously not based on a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, but what? At the decision of a majority. Asvore, amoini veloy amoinis, moyovi veloy moyovis, because they didn't welcome you and women don't have to welcome you. That's why she's allowed to. That's asvore. What is always the danger if you follow a halacha that's based on asvore? That tomorrow, next generation, in 100 years from now, somebody will change it. So what does Pliny Almoini say? He doesn't say, I don't want to do it because it's chosir. Sure, I'm allowed to do it. But since there is that danger that in the next generation is going to be changed, so why should my grandchildren suffer? So what's the word he uses? Shemo ashchis es nachalosi. He says, Rashi, what's nachalosi means? Bonim. They will suffer. I am allowed to, but what do I know? And this Lashon Pen. What's Lashon Pen? Pen is a sophic. What kind of a sophic? If he held it, it's also. What kind of a pen is it? No. You never know if it's based on svore. But when David HaMelech came to be anointed king, and Amoso ben Yeser said, I remember, kach mekublani, it's Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Then it can never change again. Also, by then, there is no more taking a chance anymore. You hear? So Tosef Pshat in Rashi. Not that Rashi needs to say that Pliny Almoini held that it was osir. No, he didn't hold that it was osir at all. He held that it was mutar. That's the decision of the generation. But what about next generation? Oh, that I never know. So for my children's sake, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, how can you pass on a shayla that's going to have an effect on generations and then it's not valid? So, I mean, then it's not a sack. You can't do anything.
That's a fact. I mean, by the way, I mean, your question is a valid question, but let's face it, it's a fact. They can paskin like in Beit Shammai that this child is a mamzer, right? Or you can paskin like that he's not a mamzer, and then main next generation will paskin like Beis Hillel, he is a mamzer. You're always saying there's such a chance.
But it was not going to reflect on that child, on that child's children. I mean, he's already paskin, so when you're going to go searching out for the mamzer to see,
that's
the
question. So the question is, what happens in such a situation? So there is a whole pshat that mikana la'abo eino chinami. The people who did it were right. But mikana lahabo, we have to act ki'ilu lemafreya, the aloke was that way. That's what it says. Those people did right. You know, it's not that lemafreya, I am a balavere, if in future generations they are going to say, you understand what I mean? I did the right thing. But in future generations they have to act ki'ilu lemafreya. It was always that way.
So in the case of that child, or great-grandchild, something like that, would give him a din of a mamzer?
100%. Where is the fairness? I mean, the question is, I'm not denying you the question, is valid. How can you take such a chance? So the etzem, there was always an awareness of how can we hurt people. So that was part of the psak. And I was, when they would reconsider a psak, they would think, what about all those people that we are hurting? So maybe we shouldn't touch the issue. But that's again tolu in chesed. That's when chesed and emes goes together. When emes is tolu in chesed, I'm not going to make up psak. That's again boyaz and toival plony amoyni. Boyaz is a man who everything is based on chesed, right? He's the zivug of Rus now. So therefore, he doesn't think in terms, what about if next generation something's going to happen? What do you mean they're not going to hurt someone? Toiv goes according to the Iker Adin. The Iker Adin, you're allowed to, so why should you take a chance? That's also part of it. Let me just tell you, where I saw it, I can't remember. But it fits so perfectly that I have to tell you the shot. According to all those that say that for sure, Rus wasn't a Goyim when she married Mahler. Or Orpo wasn't a real Goyim when she married Chilion. What's the shot? There is no Rambam here. Is there a Rambam? Let me just tell you, in Surah Bio, the Rambam said like this: Lo yale al hadas that Shloimo HaMelech and Shimshon HaGibor married Noshim Nochriyos. Lo yale al hadas. How they are going to marry God? It's impossible, right? So, I mean, obviously, I mean, the same goes for Machlo Vechilion. Lo yale al hadas. I mean, he doesn't say Machlo Vechilion, but it's Lo yale al hadas. Elo, what was the problem? Because they got married for an ulterior motive. They got married because of the ulterior motive. So therefore, since they got married for an ulterior motive, therefore it's like this. The Rambam says like this. The exact lotion, I can't tell you exactly, but it's a very difficult lotion. It says like this. So therefore, what is their status? Right? They convert. What is their status? Hoisheshin lohem? Now, how do you understand that statement? Now, you have to act with them as Jewish. And if at the end they dropped everything, so then you know that the conversion was no conversion. But as long as they keep everything, so choyshishin lohem. Dear that the rabbis. And then in Ahaloche later he repeats it again. Therefore, whenever a bezen shall have yoytosh, who doesn't know that you're not allowed to be mekabel a ger when he has an ulterior motive, right? He's mekabel the ger, then you have to choyshishin, the bezden ha-godu, choyshishin lohem, ad sheyiz bayer tzidkusom. Same idea. Now, what is it mashma from the Rambam? I'm telling you, it's a very shver Rambam. A lot of people say, no, he means something else. But the simple interpretation of the Rambam is that there is such a thing as a Jew who is a semi-Jew, like Tolui, a hanging Jew, a Jew that's, that we never know exactly what his status is until, I don't know, he dies. He doesn't say exactly what it means, a harisa. Right? There is such a status. Now, if I were to ask you, a person who is in that status, and he wants to make sure that it's that he doesn't keep that, like he doesn't have the sword hanging over his head every minute. If I change my mind, I won't be Jewish. I want to be Jewish forever. What does such a person have to do? What would you say? A person who converted for an ulterior motive because she wanted to get married to someone. A few years later, she says, listen, now I'm convinced. And it's not my marriage that's keeping me Jewish. Now I don't need my marriage. But what should I do in order that my conversion should be final and I shouldn't be considered a semi-Jew, a Jew that choshes in loy? I want to be 100% Jewish forever. What is the only answer? What? Do it again without an ulterior motive. A reconversion. Oh, that's a pshat. When Machloin Bechilioi married Rus and Orpo, right? Why shouldn't we assume that they did the same thing that Shloima Melech did and Shimshon HaGibor did? They had to get married. They felt there's no one else around. Those are the only women around. They are the daughters of a king, which is always good for Klal Yisrael to have daughters of kings marrying into the Jewish faith, right? That's the heter of Shloima Melech, right? Chazal criticized him, but that was his justification. So therefore, there are some Jews in Moyov. Why should we assume that there was no Bezin in Moyov? There were some Mishulochim in Moyov. Why not? Right? So you've just got a few together, and you're the guy of them. What's the problem? The Rambam. They are not full Jews. If at the end they'll show that they aren't Jewish, then retroactively, then they were going along. So, all the halachas of Geirus we are learning out from the second Geirus of Rus. Here. The first Geirus was a Geirus for an ulterior motive, to get married. So it's not nothing. You see that it was enough for Shloimo HaMelech and Shimshon to use that. You see, the Rambam says, Lo yale al adaz that Shimshon HaGibor and Shloimo HaMelech married somebody without any Geirus. So that means that if you have a very good reason, you can use that heter. But their status is not final. When will it become final? By reconverting. That's what we see the second time around. So it fits in. It's not standard they married Goyes, right? It's still not right, right? Because Shlomo HaMelech was still criticized, but it takes away the sharpness of the Avera already. That's already, there is a mocker already, right, for such a thing. Now that their mocker was Shimshon HaGibor and Shlomo HaMelech, according to many, this was before Shimshon HaGibor. But it doesn't matter, the idea exists.
What was that, Rambam?
What? Where in his story be on you? Page, Gimel over there, where he talks about Geirus. All right, we won't go to the next. All right, so who's not here?